gifts and toys we knew we'd find, but we never realized a baby born that blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We are the reason that He gave His life. We are the reason that He suffered and died. To a world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us the reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts and the giving of ourselves and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung dying in the rain because of love.
Thank you, Nick. Let's stand together this morning for the reading of the scripture. By the way, congratulations again. We mentioned on Thursday night to Tim and Cindy on the arrival of Abigail. Tell me, Cindy, I'll say it. Schwinn? So, Abigail Stephen Esposito, okay? It's a Chinese name, so pray for us. Good. All right. But is she in the nursery today? Tell her I said hi. Make sure she comes by and shakes my hand after the service. Make sure I see her. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, please, if I didn't tell you that already. We'll read some verses at the end of Luke chapter 1, and then we'll start in Luke chapter 2, and we'll read a few more verses. Usually around Christmas time, I'll give at least one message on Christmas. This year, we're going to give, leading all the way through the whole month, to be honest with you, we're going to have some messages related to Christmas and then gearing up for the new year and what's going to happen there. And I encourage you, of course you're here and I'm sure you will be, but be here for the 27th Sunday morning, Vision Sunday morning. We typically would do our vision service on Sunday night, but I want everybody to get in on our new theme. So on that day, we'll have our new banner up and our new theme, but there's a lot we can do with our new theme, and I'm really excited about it. And so encourage you to be here on that day. I know it's 2 days after Christmas, and you'll probably still be in you know, turkey mode and what it. How many of you have turkey for Christmas dinner too? Seriously? I do. I just think that's what you're supposed to have. My wife always like, let's not do that. I'm like, stop. We're having turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, all that stuff. It's good stuff. And I'm going to quit talking or else I'm going to get hungry here. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, fear not. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the verse, did I? Verse 30. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. By the way, he is. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house, and to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Just throw this in, not be offensive. I like that phrase, with child. It's not an embryo, okay? It's not a blob of goods until of tissue until it's born. It is a child. Just thought I'd throw that in this morning. I wish our government understood that. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid, sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this time of year, as Brother Pineda mentioned. It's a good time of the year for families and getting together and so forth. But Lord, it's also a time that we ought to celebrate as Christians and understand what it truly means. Be with us this morning in the few minutes we have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we'll have a few messages on Christmas, and I hope that we, as Christians, can truly understand Christmas and have a December to remember. What does holiday time from Thanksgiving to Christmas, really even the New Year, mean to most of us? You know, many people think of it as a time where you get some time off, a little bit of a mini vacation. And then maybe it's about shopping and getting a good deal. It used to be Christmas shopping, and then there was Black Friday. And now it's Black Friday starts on Thanksgiving. Now, I draw the line there. First of all, I'm not going to do the 4 o'clock in the morning thing. That's nuts. Okay, but you're not prying me away from the turkey, the mashed potatoes, and the gravy, and the biscuits, and the corn. By the way, the corn's got to have bacon bits in it. How many of you do that? Are you with me? And the pepper? Bang, that's good stuff right there. And then pumpkin pie. Now, my wife gets on me when I say this, but she's wrong about other things too. With Cool Whip. Now, I know Mrs. Snyder says you might as well eat the plastic the Cool Whip comes in. I won't eat it. I'll lick it. It's good. Okay? But Cool Whip, the bottle's like air. Don't give me air. I want Cool Whip. So now it's Cyber Monday. Whatever that is. Get online and hope that your computer doesn't freeze up. And I do. Look, we went out shopping on Thanksgiving night. We waited until everybody was in a turkey comatose. We loaded ourselves up with 32 ounces of coffee, and we went to the mall at about, 10 o'clock or something like that. It was not good. But we had a good time. But that's not Christmas. What really is Christmas? Of course, we understand what Christmas means. It's about Christ. We've changed it. Now it's Xmas, forgive me if I use the word holiday. Holiday, it's because we kind of throw Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year all together. I get that. But some people purposely are trying to wipe Christ out of Christmas. You can't really do that. But if we're new, if we're believers or newer believers, it ought to have extra meaning for us. It's not about Christmas trees. Now, obviously, we're not against Christmas trees. Okay, I have some relatives on my wife's side. They think Christmas trees are pagan. It's like, you know, I don't. Now, I don't like this one because, and again, maybe I'm old school. I like colored lights on Christmas tree. Okay, my wife and I fight about all this stuff. We're good until Christmas, and it's like she doesn't want turkey. I'm like, we're having turkey. Use whipped cream. I'm using Cool Whip, and then it's not until January until we get back together. But she likes the white lights, and I'm like, we're not doing white lights. Okay, how many of you put colored lights on your Christmas tree? The rest of you, we're going to have an invitation at the end of the service, and you need to get down here, and you need to get right with God. White lights are boring. Those aren't Christmas lights. All right. By the way, did you know the first Christmas trees were actually hung upside down? How many of you knew that? If you've went to the couples retreat in Big Bear, there was a store there. I think and they hang the Christmas trees upside down. That's how the first Christmas trees were actually done. And then also, Christmas lights, just to let you know, I do know a little bit about Christmas. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, he's the one that came up with Christmas lights. He was walking outside and saw the trees, and he saw the stars, and he thought the trees ought to have lights. Now, back in those days, they were really crazy. They put candles on a Christmas tree. You talk about a fire hazard, okay? You know, we try to keep our Christmas tree alive. We feed the thing. I always tell Emily, did you feed the Christmas tree? That's pouring water in there. And because once it quits taking the water, don't put it near the fireplace. You're going to have some serious issues. Candles, that's kind of scary. Christmas isn't about Santa Claus, and I don't think Santa is Satan spelled sideways, okay? So let's not go there. It's not about mistletoe, unless you're married, then it can be about mistletoe. Decorations and so forth. But really, Christmas is a distinct Christian holiday. It's become more secular. It really has become more and more secular. You know, it's good for the economy, and it is good for the economy, and I'm okay with that. But we're taking Christ out. Do you remember that great Christmas movie of the faith, Charlie Brown? He gets that little dumb Christmas tree, and everybody's fighting, and they all hate him. Do you know that? Is that Linus, is the kid with the blanket? Linus got up and quoted scripture. And it was King James Version too. He was on. I don't know if he's a preacher, but preachers don't hold blankets, but he was in. Okay? You know, that now is offensive to people to quote the Bible. And I don't understand that. But we need to be very careful. We can't just let it become a secular holiday. Public displays are now, our government says, you know, you can't put it on government property. It's a violation of separation of church and state. First of all, they don't know what that phrase even means. It's not in the Constitution. It's in nothing, okay? It's something Thomas Jefferson brought up to say that the church has, the state has no right to interfere with the church. That's all it means. But we're using it to try to expunge Christianity, and look where that's leading us. Let me just say this before we get into the message. Be very careful. Let's keep it a Christian holiday. Some of you are going to face parties at work that are pagan. Okay? Say, what would you do? I wouldn't go. Many years ago, I had a lady in our class, and she didn't go to her work Christmas party because they were going to have a bunch of ladies there, and they were going to have a male, I don't know if it was a stripper, come out of a cake. What is wrong with us? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We get rid of anything that has to do with God. The New York Post, Daily Post, their headline with the Santa Barbara shootings, their headline, the whole page, was God is not helping us. That's helpful. We're having tragedies. Why don't we go ahead and spit in God's face and see how that works? They were mocking those that were sending out tweets saying, you know, pray for the victims. Maybe that's why we're where we're at in the first place. But let's not, as Christians, allow that to happen. Christmas is a Christian holiday. What are some of the elements here about Christmas that we can learn and maybe ought to be a part of our life? What is Christmas all about? Well, I would say if we look at the story, it's about the sacrifice that is involved. Christmas is about sacrifice. Now, I'm not talking about what we're doing. I'm talking about the Bible Christmas. the birth of Jesus Christ. It is about sacrifice. We think of presents, holidays, parties, bonuses, all that stuff if you get bonus. But it involves sacrifice. You see, sacrifice is a true test of real love. Without sacrifice, there is no real love. You think about it. In the story I've mentioned before, but if you look in the psalm book, many of our hymns were written by a man named, his initials were P.P. Bliss, wrote several of our hymns. In the late 1875, 1876, he was either traveling to Chicago or he was leaving Chicago at Christmas time. He had had a meeting or was going to a meeting with D.L. Moody at the church in Chicago. And at that time, of course, the main mode of travel was trains. They weren't always as safe as people think. And during this winter time, right before Christmas, their train went over a bridge, and the bridge gave out. And the train went to the bottom, went down to a little cavern. Well, Bliss was able to escape. He was able to get out of the train. The train caught fire. He went back, and his wife was trapped. And she couldn't get away. He worked as hard as he could to free her, but he couldn't get her loose. And so he chose, rather than going to freedom by himself, to stay there and to die with his wife. That's love. Love involves sacrifice. And if you look at the Christmas story, you're going to see sacrifice all over the place. God sacrifices. What happened? John 3:16, for God, we know it so easily, but we don't really understand what it is. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. His only begotten son. You see, God was willing to sacrifice his son. Why? Because Romans 5:8 tells us that God not only loved us, God proved his love for us. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God didn't just have a love that was some emotional feel. By the way, we don't understand what love is in our society. Love isn't some feeling. That's why marriages struggle. That's why families are pulled apart, because we meet each other and everything's wonderful. We're young and we're in love and there's a great feeling. What happens after 10 years? What happens after 15 years? Yeah, there's a feeling, but it's not that honeymoon feeling. And as soon as there's a few problems, we look for a back door and off we go. If husband and wives would only understand together that love is proved in everyday actions. Okay. Well, my husband doesn't buy me all the little gifts that he used to. And husbands, you ought to buy your wife the little gifts. But let me ask you something. Does he come home every night? Does he go to work to a job that many people don't even like? Is he there for the family? See, love is proved by sacrifice, and we know that God sacrificed for us. I would say this, without a love that is proved in actions, it's worthless, to be honest with you. Now, by the way, God was under no obligation to die for our sins, but he chose to. And he chose to prove his love to us. If he had not proved his love to us, now, we would have deserved it, don't get me wrong, but his love in its essence would not have been worthless to us. Aren't you glad that God sacrificed for us? You also look in the Christmas story, you see that Jesus sacrificed for us. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus loved us, that the cross was not something that was unpleasant to him. He saw the cross as joy because he saw what that sacrifice could accomplish in our life. Jesus sacrificed. When I told you the story of Bliss, you said, wow, what a sacrifice, but that was for somebody he loved deeply. Bible tells us that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us when we were sinners. Christ died for us and sacrificed when we were alienated from God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. That's ultimate love. I also want to mention this. Do you know Mary also sacrificed? Here's what was thought of. This is a slam to Jesus. Jesus was talking to a group of men, this religious crowd, and he was getting on them. And look in John chapter 8, verse 41, they say this to them. You do the deeds, he told this group, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto them, we be not born of fornication. Did you get that? They said, you're illegitimate. Your mom was unfaithful to Joseph. You get that? Not only are they getting on Christ, you know who they're getting on? They're getting on Mary. If this crowd knew it, did others know it? See, as Jesus got more well known and his story was well known, those that would not believe in him would have a very dim view of her. But yet she was willing to do that. Of all the ladies in the Bible, Mary is probably the greatest. Now, I heard a story that one lady asked her little daughter, who do you think the greatest lady in all the Bible is? Her little daughter said, it's Eve. Mom was kind of puzzled. She goes, why Eve? She goes, because they named two holidays after her, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. That's not what that is, by the way. And then I'll tell you this. You know another person who sacrificed? Joseph. We see that, well, you know, they were engaged when this happened to her. You don't understand biblical engagement. In those days, when you were engaged, that was as strong as marriage. Okay? The engagement period was about the husband going and preparing a house and getting ready for the actual marriage when they would actually move into the same place together. Could you imagine engaged to the love of your life and this strong bond, and you're getting ready for that wedding day and you find out she's pregnant? And then it's like she's pregnant from God, miraculously. There must have been something in him that's hard to take. Now, the angel spoke to him and he got it right. And by the way, he was a just man. That's why it says he didn't want to put her away publicly. Put her away would have been like divorce. To break up an engagement, it was almost like divorce. And by the way, Joseph would hear all the same stuff that Mary heard. And for a husband, that would be hard to take. What's the story about? It's about sacrifice. Love is about sacrifice. Our society knows so little about love because our love is self-centered. It's about us. And as soon as it starts working, as soon as it stops working for me, I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. Love is love. It's also not just about the sacrifice. It's also about salvation. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That was the whole purpose in Christ coming. We tend to focus on a babe in a manger. You know, the babe of Bethlehem. Okay. That's not what it's about. God's plan had always been, the story of the Bible is always the sinfulness of man and the depravity of man and our need to have our sins forgiven. And that started way back in the Garden of Eden. And it was coming. It was just a matter of time. And about 4,000 years after that, the time came when the price was to be paid. In Bethlehem, the birth was the first step. That's what it was all about. Everything deals with our salvation. Okay? That's what it's all about. If we can't stop at Christmas time and think about what it means and that Jesus is coming on this earth for one reason, 33 years down the road to die on the cross for man. That's what it's all about. Let me say this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're not saved, you haven't got the Christmas gift yet. That's the gift of Christmas, okay? We give away a lot of gifts, right? Christmas is a time for giving. Friday night, our family was together, and we went to it was something Allison wanted me to get for Jason. And, of course, if they're the grandkid, they get whatever they want, right, if it's on sale. So it's like it was at TJ Maxx, so it's a good excuse. Hey, let's all go out together. We'll get something to eat. We'll stop by TJ Maxx. We made the mistake of bringing Stevens girls with us. And so they all come to the store. We're at TJ Maxx, and I'm walking around, and I can hear from the other side of the store. It was Ann and Charlie. Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa. They had a bunch of stuff that the girls liked, and it was just like, you got to be kidding me. And I go over there. It's like, hey, let's get this. Hey, let's get this. Hey, let's get this. Now, I am smart, Brother Tim. You know, the stuff there was a lot cheaper than somewhere else. So I'm like, hey, let's get the stuff here, and then we're done with it. And I'm saving a boatload of cash. Amen? So I got a few things there, and we're getting stuff. And they're all excited. But it's like, listen, they wanted everything. Okay? It's like, finally, they got enough. And she's like, yeah, Ann's like, let's get this. And I'm like, I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. So I'm like, go ask Aunt Jessica, whatever she says. So she takes off. 2 or 3 minutes later, she comes over, and she's going to throw it in the shopping cart. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I told you to talk to Jessica. She goes, I did. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What did Jessica say? She goes, oh, she said I have too much stuff already. I'm like, well, that means you don't get it. Okay? And I understand that. It's about all that stuff. But really, the gift of Christmas is salvation. Hey, why don't you, if you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, why don't you get the ultimate Christmas gift? You say, well, that doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything to us, but it costs Christ the ultimate price. Salvation. That was God's plan. I love the Christmas song. I think we sing it here. Brother Pineda, we always sing it sometime. Born to die upon Calvary. I like that. Ties it all together. Christ was, why? Christ, really, you could say he was born in the shadow of the cross. Jesus Christ. And then the last thing is this. What else is Christmas about? What should we get from it? I think it's about the spirit that it inspires in us. You ever notice? Christmas time, people, except on Black Friday, as I mentioned, they are a lot nicer, right? Oh, how you doing? Unless they just are, unless they're Scrooge, I get it. But people are just a lot nicer. As you get closer to Christmas and they get the days off, everybody's happy and everybody's smiling. Now, don't go see them January 2nd and things will change. But they have a certain joy that comes with this season, a certain kind of, you know, it's just, their spirit is different. Probably where you work as you get closer, people are a little friendlier and nicer to each other. People are kinder. They're happier. But here's what I want you to notice. People this time of year have a spirit that really, if you're a Christian and you're saved, you can have all year long. Not just Christmas. Some people are as miserable as can be, but boy, roll around December and all of a sudden they're happy and they're wearing the Santa hats and they got the lame sweaters on, okay? You know, how many of you go to like an ugly Christmas sweater contest? Okay, the staff and the girls have been bothering me. So the staff Christmas party, we're going to have ugly Christmas sweaters. Now, Brother Jim, that won't be hard for you. You wear a lot of those all the time. But Tim, hey, you dressed early. Thanks. Just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. New father, right? You get a card today. But, you know, listen, God offers joy. God offers that kind of spirit. We don't have to be miserable all year long, and then a couple weeks out of the year, everything's better. No, things can be better all the time. Amen. What kind of spirit did they have? I want you to notice they had peace. The angel said to them, fear not. He said, it's okay. And then in the next verse, he mentions peace. People, we live in a fearful time. We live in a time of stress. And people, they don't, you know, the economy and everything going on. And especially, and we shouldn't as Christians, and we get frustrated, Brother Machado, but we shouldn't. We look at what's going on there, and we get irritated. And if we're not careful, we lose our peace. Can I just tell you something? Our life's not wrapped up in this world. And in the midst of all the nonsense that's going on, in the midst of all that's garbage is going on, because I know Jesus Christ, the one born at Christmas, I have peace. Oh, my peace isn't tied to what's going on because that'd be hard to. That's happiness. That's how I feel depends on what's going on. Listen, peace is outside of what's going on. Peace. Look in your Bible. If you read through your Bible, one time, just every time you just think of every time you read the words, fear not. It's everywhere. Why would God say that so often? Because we have a tendency to be fearful. We have a tendency to let that creep in. And it can affect us. But there's a calming assurance. By the way, this times in which we live, I think the Bible speaks about that. Luke chapter 21, verse 26a, men's hearts failing them for fear. I mean, it's real. If you struggle with something like that, I'm not knocking you. I understand it's real. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we can experience what Philippians 4:7 says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See, if you're saved, you can have a kind of peace that people that live in this world look at you and say, I don't understand that. Fact of the matter is, to be honest with you, I don't understand it. But it comes from God. So we can have the spirit of peace. We can have the spirit of joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Where do we get joy from? Joy doesn't come from everything that's going around us. It doesn't come because we get a few days off and the family comes over and we ate way too much than we should and we open presents and all that stuff. And I enjoy all that. I really do. I enjoy my family. I love my family 95% of the time. But I really enjoy having them around. We have a great time together. But it ought to be more than that. Joy is not just tied to that. Joy ought to be tied to your relationship with God. And your relationship with God will give you that joy outside of everything else. Joy. I've used this story before, but when I was in Bible college, I worked third shift at Solo Cups. We made cups for Burger King, a bunch of other places. It was a cup factory. And so the last day, it was a 24-hour operation, 3 8-hour shifts that they would have. And so that last day was just a big Christmas party. There wasn't a lot of work going on. They would really slow down the machines and the break room had nothing but food and all the stuff you could want. You could go in there anytime you want. Everything was real slow. Really, it was just an 8-hour hanging around. And they did that for us. We were the third shift, so we were the shift that closed up shop before the holiday. And we got off at 6 in the morning, so long around 4 o'clock, everything shut down. And we would just sit around there, and you could only eat so much. And so I was sitting there. There was nothing to do, and everything was cleaned up. And I'm just sitting on one of the benches just waiting for time to tick off. And here was a group of ladies. Now, the break room, because it was like an 8-hour rotating, you were always in there with somebody. And these ladies, there was a couple of them, they didn't get along with anybody. And you'd hear them all criticizing and fighting each other, and it was a small, you knew it. But you know what they were doing that last day? They were all sitting around singing Christmas carols together. They were as happy as could be. And maybe it was because it was 4:30 in the morning and I was really tired, but I'm sitting there thinking, those ladies, as soon as this holiday's over, they're going to be right back at each other, scratching eyeballs, kicking. And here's what I thought. I thought, and God gave me this thought, I think. You know that joy they have right now before the holiday's over and they kill each other? You know that joy they have right now because they're getting off of work? Man, I'm a Christian. I have that joy all the time. I just don't sing at Christmas. I don't sing publicly ever because I don't want to kill anybody. But I don't just sing at Christmas. I can have a song in my heart all year round. Why? Because Jesus Christ at Christmas was born so I could trust him as Savior. And I can have a joy that lasts all the time. It's also a spirit of praise. The angels were saying, glory to God in the highest. Let me ask you, this Christmas season, are you going to be thankful to God for what he's doing? Hey, let's make sure that we don't forget him this time. Oh, we had Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago. Hey, Thanksgiving's all the time. God is good to us every day of the year, not just a few days of the year. Sometimes I understand, we have a hard time seeing it, but because we know Jesus Christ, we can be thankful. There's so much to be thankful for. And then the Spirit is seen in our relationship. He said, peace on earth, good will towards men. Relationships are a very important part of life. I know the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I love the end of the movie. You know why? Well, because I'm a Baptist preacher and they had a big offering at the end. That's kind of why I like it. Okay. You know, they're all happy because he's not going to jail. I'm thinking, hey, who's throwing cash in the offering plate? That's where I'm at. But anyhow, look, relationships. Do you know that being a Christian makes your relationships better? You know, here comes Uncle Whoever, and it's like, hey, we're happy on Christmas Day, and we're all eating together, but the rest of the year, I don't want him at my house. Okay, you know how that is. There was when we were in Bible college, the last day before they would let us go for Christmas break, there was some weird song the college president would sing, and I don't remember what it was. I just remember the one phrase. He said, at Christmas, I hug and kiss my wife's mother. The rest of the year, we don't talk to each other. That's how most people are in relationships, right? No. Christianity makes your relationships better. So I hope this year that as you think about Christmas, think about what's really involved. Does it make a difference in your life? Let's all stand together this morning. Every head bowed.